What I want to do today is I want to talk to those of you that are praying and waiting. And this, I believe, will speak to many of you. I want to talk to any of you who may even be a little bit spiritually discouraged. If you are, you're trusting God and asking Him to do something. He hasn't. You're thinking, why hasn't He? I'll shoot real straight with you. Sometimes God is frustrating to me. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful. It's kind of almost too early in a message to get that real. But I'm going to go ahead and get that real with you. Sometimes He's frustrating to me, and it's not because I don't have faith in Him. It's because I do have faith in Him. It's because I'm praying and I'm believing, and I know He can, and sometimes He doesn't. And I know that there would be many of you that may be there as well. There's something on your heart. You're seeking God and you're asking Him, would you heal, or would you answer, or would you provide, or would you show up? Would you do this? And I believe you can, and He hasn't. So you keep praying. And you keep on waiting. And all of us, we believe that God can do what we're asking Him to do. And we've been believing that He will do what we're praying for Him to do. And He hasn't. And so, if you can relate to that, I want to show you a very, very powerful portion from God's Word that I believe will speak directly to your heart and encourage you while you're waiting. We're in the book of Daniel, and today we're going to be in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Just for context, Daniel is an older guy now. Mike Tyson Daniel. He's an older guy now. And he's actually like 84 to 90 years old. So his legs are wobbly, right? He's an older guy now when we see him have a vision before God. And I'll show you this vision in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel says this: in the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. The text goes on, when the vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 whole weeks. At that time, I'd eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips. I used no fragrant lotions until 3 weeks had passed. What was going on here? If you remember, years and years ago, King Nebuchadnezzar, the evil king of Babylon, if you remember, he had conquered Judah in 597 B.C., and he captured the best and the brightest young men and took them out of Judah, out of Jerusalem, and indoctrinated them with the evil Babylonian culture. One of those young men that he captured was Daniel. So here we are, 70 years later now. And the king of Cyrus comes from Persia and now conquers Babylon. So it's a little bit like, you know, fish swimming along. This is Jerusalem, and then a bigger fish, Babylon, comes along and eats the bigger fish. Now Persia comes along and conquers Babylon. And that's what we've got going on today, which was kind of good news for the Jewish people, because the king of Persia, Cyrus, he said, the Jews can now return back to their homeland. You can go back to Jerusalem. You can rebuild the temple. And so this would have been really, really good news. Daniel, he's happy about that. But he was really concerned because the people of Israel continued to sin against God. So, what do you do when you're concerned? Well, Daniel did, and even what we see in the New Testament, we're taught to fast and to pray and to seek the God of heaven. So, for 3 weeks, that's what he had been doing. He was denying himself certain things to pursue the heart of God. He was fasting and praying. And he had a vision of some stuff that was to come. And it was going to be bad stuff. Now, what I want you to notice is that Daniel was deeply moved by God. He was very close to God. And because of that, he was very spiritually sensitive. In fact, I can tell you right now that I can almost always tell how close I am to God or not by what moves my heart, by the state of my mind. In other words, when I'm not kind of pressing in to God and making him the first priority and pursuing him with all of my heart, I'm upset by little things like slow internet. This throws me for a loop. We're out of wasp spray and I've got wasp everywhere. When I'm not close to God, I get really messed up about dumb things like that. But when I'm close to God, I'm bothered by other things. I'm bothered by people that are hurting. I'm bothered by brokenness that I see in the church. I'm bothered by division. I'm bothered by spiritual apathy. When I'm not close to God, the things that matter most don't bother me as much. So Daniel's burden about the important stuff. He's burdened about the people's posture and relationship with God. So what does he do about it? Well, he didn't worry about it. He didn't gripe about it. He didn't stay up at 2 a.m. saying, what am I going to do about it? No, he sought God about it. And for 3 weeks, he's fasting. He's praying. He's mourning. And then we're going to see him on the bank of the Tigris River. He's got some other people around him, and he sees this vision. Now, watch what happened. He sees it, and the people that were with him don't see it. They don't see the vision. Verse 5, we see this. He said, I looked up and I saw a man dressed in linen clothing. Who do you think that might be? Well, let's keep going. I see this man, this vision, dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. He looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. He has this vision, and he says, "Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision." So if you can imagine, he sees this vision and Daniel's like, you know, whatever. And maybe they see Daniel acting strange. But for whatever reason, they run off. And he's the only one left there to see this vision. Now, who was that man in linen? Who was he? Well, he was either Jesus or an archangel. And so, scholars debate, he was either Jesus and this would have been called, remember the word from last week? It's a theological term, Christophany. Christophany. What is a Christophany? A Christophany, if you'll remember, is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. The theological term is this, an appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. Remember, what is God? God is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning, there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus had always been there. He just didn't become flesh until God sent him to earth. So, scholars think this might be a pre-incarnate Christ. A Christ means Jesus. Ophany means appearance. It's an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. Or it was a high-ranking angel like Gabriel. So, whatever we know is this, is an angelic being. And verse 7 tells us, Daniel was the only one who saw the vision, and the others didn't see the vision. This is powerful, because this is what could happen to some of you today. God had something special for Daniel, just for Daniel. It wasn't meant for the other people. Maybe they weren't prepared for it. Maybe they didn't have the faith for it. Maybe they just weren't there for it. But in the very same way, I believe that God will have something special for some of you today. And you're going to experience Him in a very rich way. It might have already happened. For some of you, might have already happened that when we were singing, you just sense God's presence right there with you. Maybe it was His divine comfort for you, or it might have been like He was, you know, speaking to you in that very moment, or it may be a phrase in this sermon. It may be something I'm not even planning to say that God may prompt me to say, not for the others, but just for you. Or it might be when you're praying. You have a vision of something that gives you hope. Or a song comes on the radio and you realize that song was speaking to me. It may be something special for you, just for you, that others don't understand. And for some of you today, God is going to speak to you in a very, very personal way. And you're going to experience His presence. And there's going to be like a word from God for you. And you're maybe sitting next to someone else who hears the same thing, sees the same thing, and you're in the presence of God. But the person sitting next to you, that person may enjoy the presence of God in a very, very real way. And this is what Daniel says. Whenever God reveals Himself in verse 8, Daniel said this. He said, "My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak." So he's in the presence of this angelic being, probably the pre-incarnate Christ. And he says, "I heard the man speak when I heard the sound of his voice. I fainted, and I lay there with my face to the ground." This is powerful. He's in the presence of this being, and he's face down. He couldn't even stand. Why? Because the strongest of us cannot bear the weight of the glory of God. In the presence of this angelic being, his strength leaves him, and he falls face down to the ground. And I would ask you today, I wonder if any of you have ever experienced God in this way, where you were just overwhelmed by him. And Daniel said in verse 10, he said this. He said, "Just then a hand touched me and lifted me. Still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, 'Daniel, you are very precious to God.'" God is so holy, and God is so good, and God is so kind. Daniel's fasting. He's praying. He's afraid. He's burdened. He's overwhelmed. And he said, "A hand from heaven touched me and lifted me and said, 'You are so precious to God.'" And I love this. First, the hand lifted him. He lifted him. God is a lifter. God is a lifter. Some of you are down today. God is a lifter. King David said, when he was running for his life, he said, "But you, O Lord, you're a shield about me. You're my glory. You are the lifter of my head." God is a lifter. God is one who lifts your head. God lifts those that he loves, and God loves you. If you're down today, his presence will lift you. He is a lifter. "You are a shield about me." Our God lifts those he loves. And then the voice says, "You are precious to God." And for some of you today, you will hear from heaven. You'll hear the whisper of the Spirit of God that you are precious to God. You'll hear it. And he'll tell you that he loves you, and that he's for you, and that he's with you, that he's never left you, that he knows your pain, and that he hears the cries of your heart. Because in verse 12, and this is where it gets cool, then the angelic being, Jesus, or the archangel, whatever it is, said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel." Now watch this. "Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and humble yourself before your God, since the first day you began to pray, your request has been heard in heaven. And I have come to answer your prayer. 3 weeks ago you prayed, and now I'm here today." And this is a word for some of you who've been praying for a long time. And I'm talking about those of you who've been praying for so long. You feel stupid. Like, why bother to pray? Why bother to pray anymore? Can anybody be that honest? Have you ever been there? Because I have. Like, God, I've been praying for the salvation of this person for the longest time. And I don't think they're ever really, truly going to come to you. I'm going to try to keep praying, but I don't see it. I don't believe it. I don't even know if you're listening to me anymore. This is never going to change, and you keep trying to pray. And the angelic being says, "Since the first day you began to pray, God heard your prayer." There's somebody here. You've been praying for a long time. And I want you to know, from the moment you prayed for the very first time, God heard your prayer. And Daniel, he's been praying and fasting, and he's hurting, and he's afraid. And for 3 weeks, he saw nothing. For 3 weeks, he's praying and nothing. Then verse 13 says this, "But for 21 days, this is where it gets weird, and it gets cool. Stay with me. "For 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way." Wait a minute. God sent this being. And then there's this war going on in the heavenlies. "This spirit prince blocked my way." Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. So, Daniel's praying, and nothing's happening, and this angelic being is coming to help. But there's this spirit prince blocking his way. So God sends reinforcements, the archangel. And there's this battle going on. Now, there's a lot in that verse right now. But it's one of the greatest pictures in the Old Testament of this spiritual war that's going on every single day. Because Paul told us this in Ephesians 6:12. He told us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." In other words, when you are praying, there's more going on than you see with natural eyes. When you're praying, God hears your prayer in heaven. And God may have already unleashed angelic beings who are doing warfare against the forces of darkness. The spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia was blocking his way. What's the kingdom prince of the spirit of Persia? What is this? Well, Bible scholars say that this is likely some demonic force or a fallen angel. And the archangel, who is the protector of God's people, comes in and says, "Hey, we're here to take you down." Because the power of God is always greater than the power of darkness. And reinforcements are sent into this heavenly battle. And this angelic being is released to reach Daniel. And this is so powerful. For those of you that have been praying and waiting and seeing nothing, Daniel prayed and saw nothing. But just because he didn't see anything didn't mean that God wasn't working. Let me say it again. Just because he didn't see anything didn't mean that God wasn't working. And that's why for someone here, this will be an encouragement that will build your faith. You've been praying and you've been waiting. You've been praying and you've been waiting. And you've been praying and you haven't seen anything. And you've been praying and you're still waiting. I want to tell somebody that while you're waiting, God is still working. While you're waiting, God is still working. While you wait in the heavenly realms, because our battle is not against the people driving you crazy, our battle is not against the natural things of this world, but we're fighting a battle that goes on beyond the visible eye in the spiritual realm. That's why as people of faith, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. That whenever we are weak in our own body, it's His Spirit that makes us strong. And I'm afraid today, perhaps in the more modern church, we've become so practical. We've forgotten sometimes the spiritual side, a very real warfare that's taking place for the child you're praying for. Warfare. Warfare coming against your marriage. And you wonder why he's so difficult or, you know, why she, whatever. Well, maybe there's forces of darkness doing battle. When you pray, God hears your prayer. The first time you pray, the first time you pray, the first time you call out, heaven hears your prayers. And so Daniel, he's overwhelmed. He's got no strength. He's like, he's on his face. And then the being lifts him and speaks to him. Verse 18 tells us, "Then the one who looked like a man touched me again." And watch this. "I felt my strength returning." Somebody today, you're going to feel your spiritual strength returning. You've maybe lost some faith, but it's going to be coming back. You've lost some strength, but God's bringing it back. When you are at your weakest, His strength is made perfect. My strength was returning. And the being says, don't be afraid, for you are precious to God. The second time he says, you are precious to God. Someone here, you didn't hear it the first time. You need to hear it a second time. You are precious to God. You need to hear it again. You are precious to God. He cares about you. He hears the cries of your heart. You are precious to God. You are very precious to God. Peace be encouraged, be strong. Daniel, he's physically weak. He's worried and concerned about the people, they're sinning against God. He's got a spiritual burden. And God's doing battles in the heavenlies. And God sends a message to him and says, you are precious to me. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. And for those of you that will listen, not to my words, but listen for the voice of the Spirit of God, for some of you, He'll speak to you today. He'll speak to you and He'll tell you, you are precious to Him. You're precious to Him. He cares about you. He's with you. He's heard your prayer. He's working on your behalf, and He'll tell you, be at peace, because there is a peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand. When you cast your cares on Him, when you cry out to Him, when you're not anxious about anything, but everything, with prayer and petition, you take your request to God. There is a peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand. And the Spirit of God may tell you, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be strong. You're precious to God. You are precious to God. You are precious to God. So let's take a step back. Review where we've been over the last few weeks. How do you live with conviction in a culture of compromise? Well, Daniel, he resolved, remember, to be faithful to God no matter what. He determined, he made up his mind that he would not compromise his values to blend into the culture, but he would honor God with everything that he did. Why? Because you may live in Babylon, but Babylon doesn't have to live in you. He distinguished himself. Remember the word mantaza. Mantaza excels, stands out, no matter what we do, and do it for the glory of God. No matter what the world says, when we show up, faith walks in the room. Hope walks in the room. Light walks in the room. Love walks in the room. We will not be divided. We will not be angry. We'll not be hateful. We'll tell the truth. We treat people with integrity. And we'll always show the love of Jesus. When we tell the truth, we always do it in love. And we cry out to God. We cry out to God. We believe that He's faithful. We know He's faithful. And because we believe He's faithful, what do we say? We say this. We say this. God, I believe You can. And God, I believe You will. But God, even if You don't, I still believe. God, I believe You can. God, I believe You will. But even if You don't, God, I still believe. And so today, for those of you that may be spiritually discouraged because you've been praying and you've been waiting and you've been praying and you've been waiting, I get it because I'm there too. And I have to remind myself that God heard the cries of our heart and that our faith actually pleases Him. And just because I don't see anything doesn't mean He's not doing anything. And God may speak to some of you today and say, don't be afraid. You are precious to God. God is holy and God is good and God is kind. From the first day you prayed, God heard your prayer in heaven. And He's released angels to war against the forces of darkness on your behalf. And what I want you to know, I want you to feel, I want you to believe that if God is for you, who can be against you? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And remember our key verse. We started with this. We learned it in week one. Daniel 2:28. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. No matter what you're going through. No matter what you're experiencing. At this moment, no matter how much pain you're enduring, no matter how much doubt you may be feeling, remember, there is a God in heaven, and He hears the cries of your heart. And while you're waiting, God is working, and He's working right now. Because our God is a good God. He is always faithful. Even when we're faithless, God is faithful. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our lives. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of all that we have and all that we are. He is the only one worthy of all of our praise. Let us pray. So we worship You today, God. We thank You for who You are. And so, God, we put our faith in You. We believe for our children to serve You faithfully, God. We believe for our marriages to be strong, God. We believe for mental health, not just a healthy mind, but a Christ-centered mind filled with the truth of God. We believe for strong self-esteem. God, we believe for spiritual unity. God, we believe for spiritual growth. We thank You for who You are, and we thank You for Your character, for Your nature, for Your sovereignty, for Your goodness. God, we praise You because You're always faithful. So we put our faith and our trust in You. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.